from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jason Pitts, the football host for Yahoo Sports, host on Fox Sports Radio, joins us every single Monday, and he joins us now right on time, Fitz, as we get the official news. Dan Hurley is staying in UConn, going for the three-peat as opposed to joining up with the Lakers organization after apparently a compelling pitch. Not compelling enough as Hurley staying at UConn. What does this say about the Lakers?
Oh, that's a great question. That's not where I thought you were going to go first. And it says that the Lakers are in a real transition period, and I think people outside have to know that. And so I think part of what made Hurley such an attractive coach for them, and why it made sense in my mind, is that you're only going to get a little bit left on whatever this is with LeBron. So knowing that, frankly, there's nothing they're going to do this offseason that will make them a championship contender, you're just running it out with LeBron, because that's what you do as an organization. You treat your stars right. So that's what they'll do, but then they're going to have to start a massive overhaul, and that massive overhaul is not going to be a quick overhaul. So, and in the modern sculpt of the way the NBA is made, I don't know that the Lakers can just count on doing business the way they've done business the last 30 years. Like, this isn't a buy a team and get it worked out mentality anymore. Like, look at what we're seeing right now and what we've seen over the last few years. If you have two superstars and you can draft for depth around them, you can build yourself the opportunity to play at the highest level. But we're seeing champions that find a way to home grow much of the talent that they have and are patient with that talent that they have, and they pluck little pieces. Well, when's the last time the Lakers took that approach? Their approach has been for a long time, we'll just go out, open up our pocketbooks, and it'll all work out. I just don't know that that works. So you better have a real idea of what they want from player development. You have to have a real idea where they are. I mean, I think the Lakers are in trouble when it comes to maintaining the standard of who the Lakers have been, because they have to admit who they are right now. Who they are right now is not a championship team. Frankly, I would have no problem if the Lakers had decided right now to walk from LeBron, Anthony Davis, the whole thing, blow it up and start over, because you ain't going to win one with what you got. Now all you're doing is just delaying the inevitable.
I think that would be the smarter move. I'm with you on Fitzy, but I'm sure at this point with LeBron probably, you know, on line one right now, they're not willing to do that. So what do you do? Do you just go put the Band-Aid on and go get JJ for all those? It almost feels like you've been exposed, like you're saying. Like, people don't believe that this will be about post-LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody will come in there and get a Darvin Ham type shake at this where they're gone by year two. And so maybe you're out on that candidate. So what do you have to do? Just go get a guy that, you know, has never done this before, like JJ? Because you are, it does feel like kind of stuck.
I mean, here's the problem with that. I can only speak to the JJ I've interacted with, and JJ doesn't want to be anybody's second choice, and anybody's very public second choice, right? So I don't know. I mean, the JJ that I've interacted with, I don't think would take this job at this point now that they've danced so hard with Hurley so publicly. It would surprise me. I don't know what they do. And the other part of it is, let's acknowledge that they offered a lot of money. Maybe not, oh my God, mind-blowing, nobody ever touches this, but they offered somebody top six money in the NBA to do this and still got turned down. So now what, are you going to overpay for mediocrity? Like, this is a tough situation. And also, I just think JJ in general is a bad hire, simply because in that locker room, everybody's going to wonder every time he opens his mouth, is it JJ speaking, or is he speaking on behalf of LeBron? And that's just not a way for a coach to win any equity in the locker room. It's not a way for a coach to win equity with an organization. It feels to me like a fail.
In terms of the, you know, it's interesting. I'm just sort of thinking about this, and I don't want to be too cynical and get too sort of conspiracy theory here, but, you know, Kentucky basically offered Dan Hurley the same amount of money. And I know this was not like a financial decision, but if this was really, because the reporting the whole entire way was like, this was the man. This was who they want to build the program, so to speak. We want him to develop Austin Reeves and Rui and just be our guiding light. And yet they offer him $3 million more annually a year to do it, which, by the way, adjusted for cost of living, might actually be a pay cut from Stores Connecticut. Like, are we crazy to think that maybe this doesn't pass the smell test in terms of their quote-unquote rumored commitment to how bad they wanted Dan Hurley?
Yeah, I think that portion of it. Now, I will say this, having lived in Connecticut the last few years, you would be stunned. The second highest tax rate in the country belongs to Connecticut, third highest cost of living.
Wow.
So actually, he would actually do better. You know, it's amazing. I'll tell you this, not that anybody cares about this listing, but for point of reference, my property taxes on the house I had in Connecticut were more per month than they are per year for the house that I have in Nashville. So, like, think about that. That's a very real number. So Hurley, and that's part of why I thought the Kentucky offer might be enticing to him, because moving to Kentucky from Connecticut, oh my God, like, your dollar is going to go so much farther than you could ever have imagined. But I do think that the part that they underestimated was how much Connecticut as an area means to the Hurley family. Like, there's a Mexican restaurant right down the road from the place in Connecticut that I lived at for years that the Hurleys go to after big games, right? And they sit in the same seats, the whole family meets up whenever they can. They're able to sit there and not really be bothered. They live like rock stars in the area. Everybody loves them. They've got their routine that they love. They love New England, all of these things about it. I think part of what has to be enticing, if you're going to take me from New England to L.A., unless you're an L.A. person, boy, you got to really sit there and say, okay, how am I going to make this so incredible that you don't even have the choice? Like, don't even give them the option of saying no. I don't think that offer does that, to your point. I think it's a little underestimating. That being said, if not now, the only thing I'd say is, if not now, then when for Hurley? Like, because if it's true, and Woj just reported that he has tremendous interest in the NBA, well, you're going to get to coach the second best player of all time with the biggest team brand-wise in the whole league. It doesn't get better than that. Your top six salary, what, you win another natty, you think that's going to go up? It's not. If you don't win a natty, is it going to go down? It might a little bit, right? So I'm a little stunned in an NIL world where I struggle to see how Connecticut's going to keep up long-term with athletics in general. I'm surprised they didn't take the deal, even though the deal wasn't sweet enough.
You know, I saw a weird narrative, and it was just one. I don't want to act like – I'll say actually two, because Greeny joined in on this as well. But like, this idea that Dan Hurley, if he were to leave for the Lakers, this would be some black eye, some big referendum on the state of college sports. So does it work to the inverse? Does it work to the inverse that now that he's staying in college sports, that college sports is the most amazing place, it's a nirvana that everybody should aspire to be, even with the NIL and transfer portal? I'm just curious if the logic goes both ways.
I'm sorry for Greeny and whoever else had the take. That's a stupid take, and I've seen a lot of people say it, and I just think it's misinformed to college basketball. And this is what's happening. Like, baseball fans have for years been yelling about coverage of baseball, where it's like, why is everybody trying to fix baseball instead of talking about what's happening right now? It's exactly what people are doing with college basketball right now. In fact, you know, college football also drags on the same thing. Saban left college football because he didn't want to deal with it. Okay, that's fine. But does that mean that the sport's broken? Record amount of money being made, record eyeballs coming all across the world? Like, the sport is better than ever. So is it possible that a coach doesn't want to be part of the NIL world, especially in Connecticut? Yeah, maybe that's possible. Does that mean college sports are broken? My God, you tell me. I mean, what's the most interesting thing happening this summer in pop culture? Might be the return of a college football video game? Like, tell me college sports are broken? Like, that's dumb. And through all of this, what continues to happen is people says, well, it's a referendum on the future of college sports. No, it isn't. Every single one of these coaches at this point are mercenaries, and they're going to go where they can get the most money and the most security doing what they want to do in a way that they want to do it. So if Hurley wants to go to the NBA, it makes sense, right? But if Hurley doesn't go to the NBA, does that save college basketball? No. College basketball is exactly what, like, if you want college basketball to look the way it did in the 90s, you've lost your mind. It's never going to return to that. Today, what you have to learn and what you have to appreciate is that if you want to win in college basketball, all you got to do is invest money. is that simple. You want to invest money, you can get great players, great coaches. You can have a great shot at the national championship. I want UNLV to be great again. You know what? If the right families came in and donated enough money, the right collective would make UNLV prominent in a day. And that couldn't happen in college basketball 10 years ago. So, yeah, we live in a world now where, honestly, I think the ability for college sports and college teams to control their own destiny is better than ever. And the people that are complaining about it dying are people that either barely love the sport or haven't given themselves the time to think about what's actually happened to the future of the sport.
Fitzy, John and I were discussing before you came on, and we're thinking that we can fix this pretty easy in terms of getting Caitlin Clark on. I think Gray's hurt already, but we think Agumba Wale should be on too. And I guess our real issue is the fact that, you know, you look at this roster, the U.S. Olympic women's basketball team, and there's, I could be mistaken, but there's three Phoenix Mercury players. You know, right there with Diana Taurasi, who turns, I think, 42 tomorrow at the top of this thing. You got Kalia Cooper, but you've also got Brittany Griner as well. And they're a 6-6 outfit. They're in the bottom half of the league. Is winning another gold medal so important that we keep, you know, and it's just as much narrative for Diana Taurasi, who gets to, you know, her first one was in, what, 2004, so she can break this tie in terms of most Olympics competed in and won a gold medal. John and I were of the thought that Diana Taurasi should be of the mind that, you know what, it's time to pass the torch. You know, that she could have handled this on her own in terms of the way that vets have been looked at and sort of, you know, spurned the Caitlin Clark types or whatever. We thought that, you know, being a face that she could say, you know, where it's that, you know, I can move on. I've won five of these. I don't need a sixth. I can move on. Let's let the young women play. And, oh, by the way, advertisers and everybody else and all these eyeballs will come watch and you'll really be growing the game. It felt like there's a simple fix there that's not being pursued. What did you think of the whole being snubbed situation?
Yeah, but the hardest part of your simple fix is that would take the legends of the game acknowledging the risers and wanting to help them. To use the 80s analogy, that's a wrestling analogy, that's taking somebody to help somebody else get over, right? Like, Andre the Giant's got to let Hulk Hogan body slam him, otherwise Hulk Hogan's not Hulk Hogan today, right? That's what's got to happen. At some point, you got to have people come in and embrace. And what's happened since Caitlin came into the league is people have been sitting around reminding us that everybody else is better. And, y'all, like, to me, this feels like, and I hate this from a music side, if I fall in love with a band and I meet a fan of that band and he or she immediately says, oh, yeah, but I liked them since nobody else knew about them. Okay, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you were there when this band was an indie band. I want to love this band right now, and you should, as a fan, welcome that and embrace that. And by the way, if you're a fan of it, you should want the band to be making more money. So, yeah, go mainstream. Go do that whole thing. Go live your dreams. Like, that's what needs to happen in the W. Everybody right now is fighting about Caitlin Clark instead of stepping back and saying, holy cow, this might be the single greatest marketable era of our opportunity for our sport. It doesn't, I'm not saying she's the best, but she's the best marketed. So, yeah, it's a fail for all of women's college basketball across the board that they didn't find a way to put her in this system somehow, some way. And maybe it could have been involving her in the 3-on-3 tournaments if it's the same committee. Like, find a way to put her in there, because the media coverage around Caitlin Clark right now is worth its weight in gold. So, yep. I understand the merit of a conversation. And I do think that there takes time. Like, I think Caitlin needs time to be the best in the world. But right now, man, Taylor Swift is not the best in the world. But if you're putting together a festival, you want Taylor Swift on her? Yeah, because she is, you know, one of the best in the world. And she puts on the best show. And everybody loves her, right? Like, so at some point, it's not, well, this person's a better singer and this person's a better songwriter. No, I want somebody that pushes tickets. I want big names on my festival. That's what the Olympics is. The Olympics is a massive festival. So if we're going to have a massive festival, give me the biggest names. Don't be artsy-fartsy there. Like, give me the people that will draw the interest in. And you can't tell me Caitlin Clark, late-night Olympic matchup in Paris in basketball, more people wouldn't be watching it than they will watch. I'm sorry, with due respect, Diana Taurasi, do anything.
Yeah, like I made this sort of comparison at the beginning of the show that, you know, you just compare and contrast the reactions to the WNBA as it relates to welcoming Caitlin Clark, or whatever you want to call it, versus the Wimby reaction. You know, Wimby, just like Caitlin Clark, sort of was so much hype, so much going to change the game. And you look at some of the things that the veterans have said, you know, about Wimby, the Aaron Fox, he's a special player. Desmond Bane. I'm excited. I'm excited to play him. From what you can see from afar, he's a guy that's not only huge but can do multiple things on the court. I'm excited to go down there. You know, you see people. He's a special player from Duncan Robinson. Like, it's just you see more of an acceptance. Like, oh, this guy is incredible and special. And look at all the things he can do. Whereas with Caitlin, it feels like nothing but publicly resentment and diminishing. Like, oh, he's, you know, what did Kennedy Carter say? She can just shoot threes. Like, nobody was ever saying Wimby's just tall, you know?
Yeah. And it's, and by the way, I love your analogy because I've used the Wemby analogy on the play, too. It took a minute, right? Like, we forget that the first month of the season, Wemby wasn't Wemby the way he was at the end of the year. Like, you could see it, but it wasn't there. At the end of the year, you're like, yeah, this is everything we thought it was going to be. We didn't even give Caitlin Clark, like, a week in the W. Like, she didn't even have the chance to know her teammates, first, last name, sisters, brothers. Like, didn't even have a chance to get to know a playbook. And we're out here just destroying her if she doesn't throw out, like, every single basket from every single point of the court right away. The expectations have been just, it's been asinine. And what I can't wrap my head around is, how is that good for anybody? Like, what's best for sports fans? Like, I love the fact that the W is interesting. I love the fact that we can sit here on an interview on radio and talk about the W, because we all know we wouldn't have done that 3 years ago. And by the way, right, the Las Vegas Aces have won back-to-back championships. Who cares? I'm an Aces fan. Who cares, right? Everybody cares about Caitlin. That's just, there's such an opportunity for the sport. If you're a fan of just basketball and you're a fan of drama and you're a fan of getting to see more of all of it, don't you want this? Like, it's crazy. The doubt is crazy to me.
If you had to, and we're just two games in, and hopefully we'll be able to figure it out a little bit more clearly over the next two or three or however many this final series is going to go, who would be your Celtics MVP right now, Fitzy, of this series?
Man, that's a tough question. I don't know. Because this thing has looked – y'all tell me what you thought last night. I thought that was one of the most disjointed wins I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, I just kept looking at it thinking, how the heck is this team up 2-0 in the finals? Right? Like, and I'm not trying to take anything away from what the Celtics have accomplished, because, I mean, I picked them on my show on Fox to win in six. I thought it might go five. Like, I think the Celtics are a far better team.
Yep.
But last night, they shot – like, I mean, that was like watching a painful group of middle school kids heave up shots and you just want somebody to tell them not to, and it still worked. I mean, Porzingis, if you want to talk about the X factor I didn't expect, it was for Porzingis to be so good so fast. I expected rust to be a factor in there. He's been a huge difference maker. But, man, if you're the Mavs, you got to be watching the film back from last night saying, how did we lose that game? How did we play so poorly that we let that team beat us? Because that version of the Celtics last night, man, they're going to win the NBA championship. And we're going to have to sit here and figure out how to compartmentalize a team that had a really lucky run as far as their opponents to get to the final. Then they get to the final, and their opponent's playing like trash their two games.
Let me ask you this, just from a journalistic standpoint, because I'm seeing all of this as it relates to Woj versus Shams. Like, is this validation? Or is this a situation where, like, Woj just had all the news, and just because Dan Hurley didn't end up taking it doesn't mean that he was wrong? He had everything every step of the way, including the announcement that he was not taking the job. Like, who wins, who loses here?
Woj wins, because he said in his initial report that they have been targeting Dan Hurley from the outset, which is his way of saying the Shams report about J.J. Redick means nothing. That's like, Woj doesn't say anything by accident. So when he would made it clear that their prime candidate from the beginning has been Hurley, what Woj is telling you there is everybody who's listed any other candidate doesn't know what they're talking about. And so far, it seems like that played out. I mean, went out, got the offer. I think maybe Mega offers a little oversold. Now the offer gets turned down. He gets it first. I think Woj wins in this, but also, and I know Woj well, he's great, and he's been great to me. I think the world's better when we have two great insiders. It's funny that we pit these two against each other. Like, I think it's better when there's not one person controlling all the information that we all see. I think Shefty's better with Rap just absolutely trying to scoop him every step of the way. I think Woj is better with Shams coming after him every step of the way. So hopefully there's, you know, it's a bit of a tie, but I give the edge to Woj.
Yep, I think that's probably right. Hey, Fitz, man, you're the best as always.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for the time.
Yes, boys. Have a great week. And yep. Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, it's good to be back, man. It was, you know, the first 2 weeks, it was like a vacation, and then it stopped being a vacation, and then, you know, you start to miss it a little bit. You feel like you're kind of out of the mix, right? So it was good to be back, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, boys. Have a great week.
Yep. It's Jason Fitz, the best in the business. Yeah, look, I think there's definitely we'll never know the truth in terms of how was this planted. Was this a big coordination? You know, we'll never know. Nobody's ever going to say that. Like, oh, the Lakers knew when the Reddit. Maybe JJ will tell us, or maybe not. You know, I'm still waiting on that, right? What's he going to say to Shams? Like, what's his big, you know, I don't know, message?
It's such a slap in the face to Borrego and JJ to say this was their guy the entire time. Well, then what? So the interviews, the
right.
Two for Borrego,
yeah.
Two. You had him come back.
Yeah.
That was just all smoke. So that's what I'm, that's.
Right.
So I got a hard time buying. It's the only first and only one they took seriously. You had Borrego back twice, so you were just playing with him.
No, yeah, I don't know. I
mean, they seriously considered.
No, you were. You were. I will say this.
There was no talk about Hurley. None.
None.
Not even a peep. Not
I will
one
say this.
Leak.
For us, you were our first and only choice for this show. You were the guy, no doubt about it. Like, you were our one and only.
Stop.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I said it doesn't matter when you get it. It's what you do with it when you do. Oftentimes, it's not the number one choice, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I have to go back in history and look how many times that's been the case. You know, the public, it's so public now with social media. That's the problem. Like, you know, it's not the way it used to be. Used to, it would just be scuttlebutt, and you didn't necessarily know you weren't the first choice. Now it's all out there. You know what I mean? Now it gets reported. They're talking about they're interviewing this guy, they're interviewing that guy, they're focusing in on. But this is definitely one that I feel like we haven't seen a lot of these. Where there's an offer and it gets turned down publicly, and then they got to go to the second candidate. There have not been a ton of those. A
couple of listeners have chimed in about people who have famously turned down these types of jobs. The Charlie Strongs of the world come to mind, you know, pro or big jobs, you know, guys that have, and then it doesn't go well for the rest of their career.
Who did Charlie Strong turn down?
He got Texas, right?
Texas job.
But he took
and it,
then
right? He got it.
And it didn't go well, you know, but those opportunities or ones that you do take and they go wrong, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. The second choice does better. Sometimes the first choice tanks out. You know, Charlie's obviously famously flamed out there at Texas.
Yeah. Was I don't know. I can't remember if he was the first choice or not. But, I mean, he was really at Louisville. He had to go to Texas.
Yeah.
Who was it? Who was the NFL? Was it Saban? Saban went with Miami.
Yeah, and that did not work well.
You know, but again, this is sort of separate of the, I don't remember who was the first choice and et cetera, and who was the, I know we know Josh was not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth choice here at Memphis.
Well,
and it didn't necessarily
didn't
go
work
well.
As well as one of those higher choices.
You know, Tubby was the first choice.
Urban leaving Ohio State for Jacksonville.
Yeah, and that's like now it's a little, you know, now it's more so like going to the pros as opposed to the original point. But yes, I mean, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees ever when you're leaving. And that's why, you know, listen, the situation is so good at UConn.
Yep.
You know, it just makes sense to stay and ride it out and see where it goes from here. And then if the Knicks come open, go for the Knicks. You know, if not, whatever, you're fine. You make $8 million.
Yeah, he's a Northeast guy. That's where he needs to be. He
yeah.
Yeah, on the West Coast anyway.
Yeah.
So, just wait on the Knicks.
Anyway,
Tibbs ain't much longer for this world anyway.
I doubt it.
Running those players will be dead, and they won't have limbs
no.
by the time he's done with them.
Be gone.
It definitely wears thin. There is no doubt. Anyway, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes. It's summer, and it's the summer of 1,000 engagements with our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. What does that look like? 40% off all engagement rings and a free summer vacation getaway. When you buy jewelry that amounts to $24.95 or more, you get a free vacation. So, hey, that's the perfect time to just combine them, right? You get the engagement ring, you go on a free vacation, ask. Is that good? That's that simple. Peace of mind with the meant-to-be guarantee from our friends at RIJ. 365 days to return it if, for whatever reason, something goes awry. More choices for every budget. Go see our man Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers, today.
Ask now, pay later. Great financing options, like 24 months, no interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. You know Howie's going to take care of you because he wants you to come back. Wants to be your jeweler for life. That's why he's going to make it the most special jewelry shopping experience, the most unique of your life. Five locations in Memphis and Little Rock, online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Check them out at rijewelers.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN. Obviously, the news of the day that Dan Hurley is going to stay at UConn. He's spurning a $70 million deal from the Los Angeles Lakers to stay back in college basketball and go for three. Now, you seem to be very high on the UConn Huskies this year, and most people are. They're top three to top, I don't know, six team, I think, at worst.
Everybody's got
preseason.
More than 10. Everybody's got them top 10.
I just think it's going to be – this is just my opinion. I think Klingon hit a lot of, deficiencies potentially that would have existed because of his just – I mean, you just don't find 7'2 guys that can do what he can do in college anywhere. There's no counter to that. So you take him out of the equation, what's it look like? I think you're going to be a lot more human, I would say, because they've been unhuman, the last 2 years. So I think they – but that doesn't mean they can't still be a top 10 team.
Well, dude, it's going to be two lottery guys,
right?
Him and Castle, but you're
losing. Right, exactly right. But you do bring back Caravan, Solomon Ball, I guess you're going to – and you lose Tristan Newton. Don't underestimate that loss either. He's been there.
Absolute stud for you.
Has been, super consistent for you. Mm-hmm. But look, what I would not give to just have, to have two titles in a row. I mean, so whatever. You could suck the rest of your time. I don't care. You said to have two in a row? Come on, man.
Pretty much first wing every time you go out now.
You're a lifetime there for sure, regardless. But they still should be good, and he's clearly motivated to be good. And like I said, I think it's a great thing for the sport because he's a great coach and a great personality.
Well, the alternative, too, there's no guarantee they keep it together post, because as we've talked about, if his assistant had gone with him, the guy that Doster was talking about is so critical to what they put together offensively. How much of that are you keeping? The whole thing dies. So, I mean, stores will just be giddy today because you keep this going. And at least the possibility that not just next year for three in a row, but over the next few years, you're going to get more cracks at multiple titles. I mean, that could have been dead. Frankly, all these guys hit the transfer portal. Who knows if that second or third or assistant at this point can keep any of that together? The whole thing just blows up if Hurley takes this gig, takes his lead assistant with him. Now they get the cracks, and even if they don't win a third, dude, there's the opportunity to be there successful 2 years, 3 years from now. Could add another one.
Yep.
So.
Yep. By the way, Keith Lee, remember that food influencer I always talk about, Keith Lee on TikTok?
Yeah.
He's coming to Memphis on his food tour, apparently. The great Keith Lee. We got to get Keith Lee
and
Keith Lee. We got to get the Keith Lee by Keith Lee collab for when he comes to Memphis. I recommend lots of places. Wing Guru and Sonic.
Yeah, get the groovy fries.
It's what's for dinner. It's going to do it for us today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.